Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. We've got a great show for you tonight on this February the 9th on the West Coast, or if you're in the Eastern or the Central time zones, then you know it's February the 10th, early morning hour. Let's say we're past a little bit past 1 o'clock Eastern time, or Central midnight. Well, we're back for another week. It's been a long weekend. We've been suffering from global warming, 3 feet of snow on the ground. Figure that one out. In fact, they're saying that it's the coldest it's been in the past 35 years. Certain parts of the country have gotten either the most or the second most amount of snow in about 30 years, at least. And we have global warming at the same time. Now, you figure that out. Do you believe what you're told in these seminars and in books and on TV and in the media nonstop? Or do you believe the snow on the ground? Seems to me the snow tells the truth. Right there. So that said, we'll leave global warming for another day. And we'll focus on improving our first invention, the Internet. Who's our guest tonight? Well, she is an author. She's written several books. Tonight we're going to talk about one called The Greatest Treasure of All. Our guest is also a nutritionist. And has some wonderful products for your health. We may be talking about that a little bit as well. But before we talk about anything, I need to introduce her. Her first appearance, but not her last, on Evident Footprints, Miss Judy Gray. Miss Judy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Don. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. I had a chance to read your book, and I was very moved by the story that it tells. And before we actually go into that, why don't you give us a little bit about your background and how you got into nutrition and as a specialty? Because there are some people that consider themselves aficionados of foods. But it's mostly just in the consumption end, if you know what I mean.
I hear you. Well, you know, life leads us down many paths. But as a nutritionist, I think my fate was sealed when I was about 16 years old. And I decided that, you know, I was the fat kid in the crowd, so I had to lose this weight. And I guess I was at the beginning of, you know, when the food processing was so bad, and there was, it wasn't even fortified at that point. So it was, you know, the body needs certain nutrients, and if it doesn't get it, then a lot of people just can't stop eating. And that's kind of where I was. So, but you know, there's a blessing in everything, because it got me really interested in the body, why it, you know, it acts in a certain way, or why you have certain cravings or whatever. And so I went from a size 16 to a size 2, and I stayed there pretty much throughout my life. And but meanwhile, I went to a university, got a degree in home economics, first of all, and then my master's degree was in nutrition. And I've always had a great interest in that throughout my life. And as life went on, I eventually opened up my own company. And that's where I, you know, worked with nutrition for years, but there just, there were things that I just couldn't, you know, find the answers to. And I was, the director of nutrition for the largest cancer treatment center in the United States. And I knew that there were things that were just missing. And then finally, I guess you might say I had that aha moment in my life when I found that, yes, there were things that were so beneficial, that it helped the bodies in so many ways, that some pretty amazing and wonderful things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you have such wonderful results and people are thriving with what you do and you help them, then you realize that the body is one thing, and that is a wonderful gift that God has given us to carry our souls.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also makes you know that you have to focus on why that soul is here. Now, you got to take care of this body.
Yeah.
Because it's your vehicle.
Yes, I understand. Now, when you were, you know, something came to mind when you were describing how you got your bachelor's degree in home economics.
Mm-hmm.
When you went to your master's in nutrition, did you find that some of what or all of what they taught you in home economics was sort of a dichotomy? You know, I don't know if it's like in high school, you know, they're teaching the girls how to make chocolate cake and macaroni and cheese.
You know, I don't even know if they have home economics anymore, do they?
Well, I don't know. Of course, I'm dating myself there, you know.
Yeah.
But I know that there were, that all the girls had to take the course, you know. It was like
and the guys took
physiology or sex education is yeah. today. I mean, they start the kids in preschool with that.
Yeah, true.
But there's a different reason why they teach it so early today, and how they, if they taught it at all, it came out in physiology class, where, you know, you had the invisible man and the invisible woman, the visible, I should say, where, you know, the plastic figurines that had all the internal organs and basically, let's say, understand the circulatory system and how the organs work, and you have a visual representation, and, you know, you would be quizzed on putting this thing back together and identifying the different organs by what they look like, as if you were going to be cutting bodies open at some point in your life, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So you have these classes that they teach us, and they don't really teach us what you just described, and that's why we're here, and the difference between the body and the mind, or universal mind, or even going beyond that, and the realm of the spirit, and how those things all depend upon each other.
Well,
I think
that's
where you're going, right?
Yeah, and you're exactly right. I mean, the classes did not teach you how to live and thrive. They just taught you how to exist.
Yes.
I'm not even sure that is that much is done today, and I think it's really sad. But you know, it is at this point in my life, I'm trying to teach that. I've also written another book that I just finished at 3:30 in the morning a couple of days ago. So, and it's more on, you know, how to be good to yourself or to your children, and
mm-hmm.
to, you know, keep this body that we've been given in the best form that we possibly can, and therefore to do the purpose, to do the work that we were put here to do, and therefore to grow our souls, which is why we're here. Not difficult.
I see, yeah.
Yeah. So many people are confused. Oh, why am I here? It's very simple. You're doing what you're doing. You are where you are because there's a growth pattern for you in that particular area. Now, it's funny, this particular position that I placed myself, which we all do, whatever we're doing because we put ourselves there. We can't blame it on anybody else, whether it's good or bad. So it took me to Canada where I did a lot of speaking and a lot of trade shows and all kinds of things, working with people in health food stores and other places too, to try to achieve the best health that they could find. And I met a very lovely woman there. And she took me sort of on a journey that I never thought I would ever have. And I was raised, as so many of us are, in the realm of Christianity, which, you know, I have a very deep and abiding faith. But I was always taught that anything that wasn't by the book were, you know, works of the devil and all of this. And I had certain, shall we say, gifts that I was afraid to even talk about because I was afraid that they were so-called works of the devil. And, you know, I knew things before they would happen and just all, you know, all kinds of interesting things like that. And it was just, you know, I hid it because I thought, oh, you know, this has got to be evil.
Yeah.
Although I didn't see how it could be, but, that's what it seemed. So all these years later, my friend, it was my birthday, and she puts me in the car, and she says, we're going to go someplace. I said, okay. So she took me out in the middle of this farmland in Canada and pulls up to a house, and she said, okay, get out. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, what is this all about? And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? She said, well, you're supposed to go inside. And I said, okay. So I did. And there was a lady. And she said, do you know why you're here? And I said, I don't have a clue. She said, well, come on downstairs and we'll talk about it. So then she sort of told me her story. Her eldest daughter had been killed in a car accident, and she was just ready to graduate magna cum laude from the university, and she was just a really super special person. And this mom was so grief-stricken that she just decided she was going to die. And so she went to bed, and she laid there for 3 months trying to die, and didn't happen. So she decided that she was going to somehow get in touch with Kim, her daughter who'd been killed, to find out if she was all right, because she just felt like she couldn't stand it if she didn't know. So she started talking to all these various different people, and she talked to a medium, and the medium helped her communicate with Kim. Well, before long, she didn't need the medium because she started hearing Kim, but not only Kim, other people as well. And when she started communicating with other people's children who had passed over. And that's where her path took her. And with a few people, she also talked to them that even if they didn't have a child who passed over, she would talk with their loved ones as well. Well, you know, again, I'd been taught that this was the works of the devil, and watching some of these mediums on television and everything, it was curious because so many times they say things that would apply to anybody. They'll say, oh, and this person, there was a Mary. And it's like, yeah. You can see people digging in their memory banks. Oh, Mary, what was the Mary? Oh, in the fourth grade, I did know a girl named Mary, you know, or something like that. You know, it's they're searching, trying to validate what that medium is saying, whether it's real or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this didn't happen with this lady. She started, and straight off, she said, well, they're all lined up and they're ready to talk to you. She said, I'm new at this too, so I don't really know what everything is all about, but I'm just going to tell you what I see and I hear. And she said, there's a man, I think he's your father, his name is John, but he was never called that. He was always called Jack, and that was correct. And I'm about ready to fall out of the chair, and I'm thinking, she can't know this. And my friend who brought me, I had never even mentioned my father to her in any way, so she couldn't have told her. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll just listen and see what she says. And then she started telling me all kinds of things that my father was saying to me, and these were things that only he and I would know, or perhaps my sisters. And then she introduced my mother, and she knew her name, and then she started talking about all these relatives and their names and what they were doing, and, you know, all things, experiences that had happened and all kinds of things. And I'm thinking, what in the world is this all about? And then, you know, the old messages started coming, oh, this is evil and all this kind of thing. And I'm thinking, how could this be evil? And so it gave me a really different outlook on what this life is all about and what the next life is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't change my belief system in, you know, in my love of God. It
mm-hmm.
didn't change my viewpoint of, you know, what I believe to be an afterlife or whatever. It just made it more real and more vivid. And it was really comforting to know that people that I really loved were safe, and not only safe, but living a beautiful life.
Mm-hmm. You know, Miss Judy, you remind me of some instances where I've seen certain psychics or mediums or channels, whatever label you want to put on them, on TV or maybe heard some in a radio interview. And I would be listening to the person who was asking the question or talking, and I would get images. And I'd listen to what the psychic was saying, not in every case, but there are some out there that say what people want to hear. In other words, people are anticipating, you know, they ask the question, is my mother okay? Oh, yes, your mother's fine, you know. And,
yeah.
and that's not saying one way or another whether they're really getting that message. But then on occasion, I would pick up something that actually the mother's quite in distress. You know, she's not where you think she is, and she's having a hard time dealing with the fact that she's passed on, and she's caught in a quagmire of energy that where she's being ministered to, but she's not waking up from it. It's as though she's in a sleep.
Yes, and people need your prayers, you know, even after they've passed over, they need your prayers.
Yeah, when someone passes away, the mourning is for ourselves, it's not for them.
Absolutely, and that's what was revealed in The Greatest Treasure of All. You know, we cry and we weep and we mourn because that person is no longer with us and we will not be able to enjoy their company or, you know, whatever. Share the times together. But we also cry because of our own mortality and fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we sometimes don't trust enough to believe that there really is this great beyond, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. In fact, in the many things that I bring forward on this show, whether it's something from my research or something that a guest brings to the table, like you're doing tonight, and we get into these spiritual discussions, this is an opportunity for us to affirm what we know is the truth, what is greater than what we experience here on a regular basis. In fact, what we experience is so distant or so foreign to who we really are it's almost sad in a sense, or maybe it is sad that some people will just never get it. They may exude many of the qualities of a happy spirit because they like having fun, and they associate that with the physical aspects of life, the acquisition of material things, and not necessarily money, or just having a carefree attitude about everything and not really caring deeply about the higher aspect of who they are. So they go through life never really questioning what life is about, and they're a tolerant person, and they're tolerable to others, but they don't really leave a mark, do they? They don't, in that sense.
No, and that is a shame, because this is a very special time that we're allowed to be here. It's a very short time, and we're put here for a reason. And there's always a special reason. And if we don't achieve that, then, you know, it's been a waste.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you that there are experiences that one can have in relationship to life and death, and be faced with the prospect of moving on, not having achieved what that person came here to achieve. I can tell you that from first-hand experience, that's not a good feeling. But there's also a comfort that comes upon you when you realize that. The moment you have that insight, you realize that there is the opportunity to fulfill your life's purpose. And you may have been doing something very worthwhile. It's just that there's going to be a shifting of gears or tracks, and you're going to follow a different path, not discarding what you've experienced or what skills or talents you may have. You will actually apply those talents in a different way, which makes you a more expansive person, if you know what I mean. Just like your background in home ec and then going into nutrition, but you're also a writer, and you're now sharing this with other people, you know, in a way that you can't share it in your book or even through what you practice. Just the affirmation and the confirmation of the fact that this really works, that this is real, this is not imagined.
Well, and Don, you have to keep your mind open, and you know, follow through with things as they happen, you know? I mean, one thing sort of leads to another, and you have to be willing to open up to that and accept challenges and accept new experiences and look at them and evaluate them and take them for what they're worth, you know?
Yeah, there's a group called Duran Duran that wrote a song called One Thing Leads to Another. It's a pretty popular song. But,
that's right. Well,
I don't know that the whole song was a theme like what you're saying. You're speaking about it in the sense that life is a continuous stream, isn't it, of experiences, and it's not really little segments that are glued together.
Absolutely, unless we sort of get ourselves, you know, kind of stuck in a time warp where we're just doing the same things over and over and over again and never changing anything, you know, just we're comfortable in our ruts and then we just don't go anywhere beyond that, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's sort of like being a well with water in it and being stagnant and putrefying over time. We get sick of being in that state, and yet That very state disempowers us in a way, doesn't it?
It does.
Stops us from moving forward.
That's when we usually resort to using alcohol and drugs and other things to just sort of anesthetize ourselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't like where we are or what we're doing or whatever, and so we sort of put ourselves to sleep one way or another. But what was exciting is that when I had that experience with this lady, mm-hmm. she was a school teacher. She was, you know, this wasn't something that she planned either, but, it, you know, experience took her there. And I helped her with a book. It's called My Gift of Light, which is very, very interesting. And after that, I went out and I started buying every book I could possibly find on the soul and the mind and the heart and the, and, you know, this world and that world and everything else I could just, you know, delve into. I probably have one of the biggest libraries going, which you've seen some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have a very large library.
Huge. And so I started reading all of these things and you know, thinking and just really studying. And I was in Toronto, and I went into a Chinese bookstore. Now, I don't read Chinese, but I knew that I was supposed to be in there. And I looked down at my seat, and there was this little box of books. And I bent over and picked up the top three books, and there were two little books underneath. And one was a channeled book about what the next life is about, and then this one, this other book was on automatic writing. So I picked it up, and I got the books and left, and I read the one right away, but the one on the writing, I stuffed in my handbag, and I carried it around for like 6 months. And I'd look in there every so often and say, oh, I got to read that book one of these days. But, you know, being awfully busy, I just kept putting it off. Then one night I was in New Orleans, and I pulled out that book, and I thought, aha, I'm going to read this. So I started reading it on this automatic writing because I had no idea what it was all about. And I was about the third of the way through the book, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I can do this. So I grabbed the hotel stationery and a pen. I just held it lightly over the paper, and my hand started writing, and I wasn't doing it. And it said, hello, I am Mardeka. I am an angel. And then Mardeka started saying a bunch of different things. And, you know, and I'm just kind of like in total shock.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was where my journey began in that realm, and it has continued to progress, and that's where the greatest treasure of all, I ultimately began writing, this automatic writing, with a being called Anderson, and Anderson is the one who channeled the greatest treasure of all, and it's about a basically, it's a book on love. And love is power. It's the greatest power of all. So, he also, you know, when we had talked earlier, you mentioned that he might want to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him if he did. And he wrote about 8 pages.
He said, wait, I gave you a book. Didn't
yeah.
you read it? No. I have to, if I can comment before you read, just since we're on the topic of the book,
mm-hmm.
I have read this book, and it has a special feeling to it, similar, I'm going to say, to the Celestine Prophecy, in that there's an adventure in it, and somebody travels, or somebody has to move from one place to another. I don't want to give the whole book away, but it's a very revealing kind of story because people have to they have to exercise faith. They have to put their faith in a higher power. They have to recognize the higher power and trust that the preparation that they've been through up to a certain point is real. And they their leader, who's I can give his name away, can I not?
You can.
Oman basically finds the place where these people are going to go, and there's a lot of wisdom that comes out, and they are just being the kind of people they always were. Fearless, maybe a bit apprehensive at first, but nonetheless, there's a camaraderie, there's an understanding amongst everyone that there's a way to get along. And it's so different from how this earth is run. And yet the story's taking place on the earth. So it makes you say, well, I wonder if I was there, or I wonder if I will ever be in a situation like that. And certainly you can apply the lesson that the story tells to your life, regardless of who you are and what you do. Would you say that that's sort of accurate without giving it away?
I think you've done a beautiful description. And, you know, the amazing thing is that it really touches your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you think.
Yes. As I read it, I actually could sense what was going to happen. The story resonated with me. I think it was written in a way that we would understand it. It's intended to be understood and absorbed, you know, by your being. It's intended to be put to use, in other words.
It's a tiny book, but it's illustrated with some little drawings and what have you. And people look at it and they say, oh, a little children's book.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it is for
yes,
children.
Yes, it is. It's for the adult children.
Yeah, it's for everybody. It's for every living soul.
Yeah.
And for the betterment of us all. And
yes.
It's just beautiful. The words just touch you. They make you, you know, it just absolutely resonates in every cell of the body and in your heart and your soul. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt the flow of Anderson's message, but I just wanted to describe the book so that we could reference what you're about to read to us, I guess. Are you going to paraphrase it or actually read it?
Well, it's pretty amazing.
Okay,
and,
well, be my guest. I'll zip my lips and let you carry on then.
Well, this is by the same invisible author that wrote the other one. So I'm just the tool.
Okay.
I'm the pen. And he says, let the world begin to feel the light of my own. Let the harbingers of bad news ask me who will stop them from destroying all life on the planet. I will tell you this. Angels are ready to begin the journey to take the souls who are my own to a higher level. You will be moving into a new realm. Even the animals who are anointed will bring Ara souls, human beings in other words, to me. Animals who are actively working for the humans are the ones I refer to. Communicate with souls to work out a way to bring more light to the souls on the planet. I will not allow any to enter the kingdom of God without a whole bold step forward before the end times commence. Prepare yourselves now, for the time is coming soon. It is not a billion years away. It is not even a year away. Let the change for the better begin now. I speak through this woman because she is a lovely soul. I speak to you as a big light and as master of all. You will be coming into another codependent time, but it will be a better life in the new world. Hate and murder and all the evil will be stuck in a never-ending warp. All those who believe in me will be in a world of light and love. Angels are attempting to invite all souls to leave the broken life of the planet Earth. Never be a wrongdoer ever again. We mean to heave all who are so cruel and arrogant into the bowels of the planet. Never move away from me, or your fate will be the same. Carry the book of your own. We mean, be a beautiful soul that blinds the eyes of those in the darkness. Aura beings are created to fulfill work for God. My own messages are this. Pray and worship together. Ask me for the things you need, and they shall be given. Look for the light in all souls, and you shall find it. Use the purpose of your aura to meet the requirements of the life to come. You will be rewarded for all the good works and soul challenges that you overcome. Never doubt these words. My own kindness has kept me from destroying all of mankind. The humans have never been high vibration, only a few exceptions. Core friends are all that you need. Do not try to envelop the entire universe on the first days. Cover yourself, for the journey is long and perilous. Be very sure to include enough water and music to clear the soul of all bad energy. Few will remain on the planet, but many will be in other dimensions. Cure your woe-is-me boring messages. Work to achieve whatever you can. Foreign co-handlers have no energy, but they will be trying to beam you up to ancillary euthanasia. We mean there are beings who are all around who have astral travel, and curious onlookers will always enjoy the activities of others. Abound the energy of your own and create a better life while you can. Such abundance is enough to change the cruel fate that awaits all of you if none build awareness and comfort from the beautiful energy of my angel, who is there to warn you of the massive change coming so soon. We believe you will bode no harm to any who dares to seek the finest light of all. Carry these words in your hearts. Move into a better world when the time arrives with ease and strength of character. Boast of this to no one, but speak in a humble way. Don is very musical, and he will be there to count the chords as they are played by the angelic forces. Everywhere there will be choruses of singers thrilling the soul with their lovely songs. Commune with hosts who will serve you with meals that will delight the bellies of all who feast. Never again cry or weep, because there is no need to do so. We believe you will help all fellow humans to build a better life now. Cope with the monsters for now. War is about to kill most of them. Work to reap what you have sown, and here we practice the restitution of caregivers. None are ever without another light. Because you have come so far and achieved so much, we will grant you wealth beyond your wildest dreams. Never want for anything again, yet all will be required to continue to make books for themselves, and that means record all the deeds that you do. Food is not needed here, nor is the burgeoning caste of millions able to wipe away all the misery that has been created by millions of hurts and crimes and cruel behavior. Thus all souls will be beholden to every other soul to build a better life in every way. For those in the darkest places, light workers will move to make them hear the words of the Godhead. For a few they will recover, but most will stay in the darkness, never to be seen again. Blessings are my own to give. The curtain is about to raise on a new life ahead. Move to the mountaintop and claim your rightful place among my own believers. Archangels will challenge all who are not my own. Angels enjoy being your guardians. We will be with you forever. Love is the answer.
Wow.
Yeah. I know.
That is a heavy message.
I know. And it's something that you have to read about 1,000 times.
I'm wondering if I know that you write this out by hand, and I wouldn't ask you to sit down and type that out, but if you would
I will put it on my website, because I have a website called Angel of Answers.
And is that a .com after?
.com, mm-hmm.
Okay. Angel of Answers?
AngelofAnswers.com. And I will put it on the website.
Yes, I would like to post it on my site as well, if I could do that. Of course,
oh,
with attribution to you and of course, Anderson. And I guess he has a sense of humor, doesn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
That's a name he chose to identify himself to you.
I asked him why he calls himself Anderson, and he had a very interesting answer.
What was that?
He said, because I like the name.
Well, you know, people ask me why I named my bird Frank, and I told them because his nose looks like, or his beak looks like Frank Zappa's nose. So, the name seems to just come, doesn't it?
And he calls me Angelica.
Yes, you told me that before, and I see why. That is a heavy, heavy message, and that is one of the most clearest, succinct messages I've ever heard from anyone channeling spirit or delivering a message from a higher realm.
I didn't dream this up. These aren't even my words. I don't even express myself in this way.
Yes, I understand that.
And it was such, his presence was so strong this evening that for about 15 minutes I went totally somewhere else. I don't know. I was totally gone for a while.
Well, there is a mystery in that message at the same time too. But he said clearly what one should do. And so if you have any fear, listening audience, that message should allay any fear. Really, fear, and fear is something that we talk about a lot on this show. We identify it. We acknowledge that it's there, and we discuss why it's there. And most of all, we describe it, in the end, as an illusion. All these things, even what we're experiencing in life to a large extent, is an illusion, isn't it?
Well, and you know, the greatest thing is, it doesn't, you know, the one thing that people fear, I suppose the number one fear is death.
Yes.
And when you are so sure where you're going, you know, once you leave this body and this planet, then you have no fear. And so, you know, nobody can do anything to you if you don't fear death. Think about it.
and the key to really understanding that is knowing who you are, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Having that awareness and that insight as to who you are. And it's in the heart. You see, the fear comes from the mind. There is no place in one's heart where fear can reside. And if you're fearful, you can feel it in your stomach. You can feel it on the back of your neck. You can feel it in your head. Never does one feel fear in the heart.
Never. And we have powers, Don, that we don't even know we have. I mean, I keep going back all the time thinking about, you know, in the Bible it talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing in the fiery furnace. And, you know, I thought it was just a parable.
Mm-hmm.
But since I started doing this writing and everything, I don't think it was. I think they had no fear because they knew they were of the light. And they surrounded themselves with that light, and even the fire couldn't touch them. And I believe that.
Yes, I've talked about my own experience on the show a few times, and I came out of that with, I mean, I had a sense of humor beforehand, but I came back, and everything sounded funny to me. Simple thing as just talking and using the words that we use in our language, it becomes evident how important what we're doing in relationship to who we are being is important. It's the being part of it. And I know God has a sense of humor, or he wouldn't have even created mankind to begin with, you know?
Absolutely.
We're the perfect example that he has a sense of humor, and that, and I suppose that every time someone is killed senselessly, in other words, another takes it upon themselves to cause harm or murder another, regardless of the means through which it's accomplished, there's some place where someone is lamenting the loss of that experience. And then there's probably an aspect of life on the soul level where that soul agreed to go through that just for that experience.
Yes, and then you wonder, the person who is the one who causes the harm, have they agreed to do that? Is that part of, you know, that's part of their purpose? And so they perpetrate these terrible actions. You know, what role does that have? I mean, there's still some pretty big mysteries. But I think it's pretty plain and clear that people who are on the, you know, the continuous, shall we say, track of harming others, you know, out of pure perverse pleasure, that they're headed for one place, and that is the darkness. Because if you're of the light, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that God permits certain aspects of the dark. Just in other words, there are those that agree to come here and live a life of being in that darkness, but with the overall purpose of there being a balance between the two. There's a dichotomy for every situation in existence to keep that balance. I think it's the glue that holds everything together, that there's polarity, but it was never intended to get so out of balance. We are the ones sitting at the top of the teeter-totter, basically, and what's going to happen is the teeter-totter is going to disappear. And those that have been sitting on the lower end, you know, basically keeping us from being able to progress or to exercise free will, the usurpation of free will is probably one of the biggest crimes or sins in terms of universal law that one could commit, is preventing another from being everything that God created them to be.
Yes, standing in the way of that person's path, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that some people are not particularly, you know, they're seems like they're already so advanced that maybe they have not that much to learn. So their lives are very short on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, you know, young children, some of them are so amazing. You know, they're going through cancer and all kinds of things. And what comes out of those mouths of babes is just absolutely incredible. Working in a cancer center,
mm-hmm.
I saw some really amazing things that would just, you know, if that didn't touch your heart, you didn't have one.
Yes, I played music at the Children's Hospital occasionally when I'm invited to do that. And usually it's around the holiday season, around Christmas time. And to see these kids light up, and they really show a maturity and an understanding of spirit that you don't see in most adults. They're faced with the prospect of leaving this planet, and they show courage, and they show wisdom, and they show an awareness of something that you really, you don't have to experience what they're experiencing to know that, but it's almost as if they're doing that to show us.
Oh, they're comforting the adults most of the time.
Yes. And yeah. And I've been through that, and they just light up when they hear the music, and some of them sing, and of course, you know, we would take gifts to them, but it's not something to do just around Christmas time, is it?
No, it isn't. And you know, Don, music is one of the major, I guess it's one of the most important things in this next dimension that we are headed to, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
oh, I know that, and I've got a peek. I've had a peek at some of the books.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I've heard the music too.
And it's like nothing we have here at all.
Yes. I've tried translating. I say tried because we really don't have the instruments. Although I'm trying let's say transducing those sounds and that music. I'm creating new sounds with a synthesizer, of course. We don't really have other instruments that can do that, and yet I've stretched the capabilities of the acoustic instruments that I play to try to create those sounds.
Well, you know, sound is an amazing thing. Look, you can take a certain sound and bust a glass.
Yes.
You can.
Yes.
Sound. There's phenomenal things that can be done achieved with sound alone.
Well, or you can heal with it too.
Absolutely.
And it's not that breaking the glass is destructive. It's that the glass responds to the music and resonates to the extent to where it can't contain itself anymore.
Did you know that they can record your voice and actually tell you what nutrients that you're deficient in because of the pitch and tone of the voice?
Hmm. Well, are you going to tell me what I'm deficient in?
It's a machine that they have you know, at these big shows in California and what have you. And it's quite amazing.
Well, it's funny you say that because I have sort of that ear to do that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I can focus in on all sorts of maladies and I know what sound and what pitch, what frequencies, what chords, or what colors of sound will sort of balance the energy or restore the energy. And when I started talking about this years ago, people thought I was crazy. Yet we've had an example for thousands of years as to how music makes people feel. And if you can feel music and you're listening to the right kind of music, it should do something to improve your lot in life. Mozart, for example, came here to raise the frequency of the planet.
Well, you know, music touches the emotions, and that is what is supposed to set off human beings from other creatures. Although having been around, we both have birds, and mm-hmm. having seen my little birds care for each other. I mean, adult birds, if there's a sick bird, one of the other adult birds will come and take care of it and feed it and will lead me to it. And, you know, when I go in the aviary and everything. I mean, I don't know if they have emotions, but they sure do have caring.
Well, I experienced, if you recall, I played the piano and the birds sang in pitch.
Oh, sang at the top of their lungs, yeah. It was wonderful.
So I've seen animals respond, and I've seen dogs and cats respond to music the same way. So I know that animals can tune in to the message that's within music, and certain types of music causes them to act a certain way, just like people do. Music is very close to nature. I mean, it's in nature. Nature is made up of music in a way. And all you have to do is be quiet and listen to the birds and the bugs.
Well, and they have their own melodies, and they have their own, you know, communications and everything. It's very beautiful to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and birds are beings of light. As many other animals are too. So it's only natural. I equate music and light as different frequencies of the same thing, really.
And as he says, love is the answer. And I know that animals love. I know they do. And you know that.
Oh, yes. They love milk bones, and they
love,
they love to sleep. No, I know what you mean. I'm just making light of the of the word. Well, this has been interesting. We're already running out of time. You see how fast an hour goes by?
Oh, I know. It's very quick.
But we have you scheduled for another show coming up in a couple of weeks, and I'm looking forward to that, as well as I think we could get into a discussion of My Gift of Light. I think that would be wonderful. You're actually coming back on the 26th, which gives me a little over 2 weeks to read the book. I read The Greatest Treasure of All in an hour or so. You know, just taking my time reading through it. I'm a pretty fast reader, but it was really interesting. And once you start reading it, you want to see what's going to happen.
Well, it doesn't take long to read it, but it's something that stays with you for, I think, forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a superficial story, we could say. And now, if someone wants to order your book, they can order that through Knowledge House Publishers. Is that correct?
Yes, or North American Urban Spice, either one.
And North American Urban Spice,
mm-hmm.
or at
Knowledge House.
KnowledgeHousePublishers.com, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, would you like to leave a parting message? Or sometimes, you know, when I have someone that's bringing the messages from the higher realms, you've already done that. I wouldn't ask Anderson to say anything more. He said everything that needs to be said. But if you want to share a parting word of your own that you haven't had to write down.
Well, it's just that I feel that it's such a huge blessing that I've been given this wonderful opportunity to receive these beautiful words and to share them with everybody. I know that there's all levels of belief, and sometimes, you know, our human minds block what we're hearing, and, you know, it's difficult for us to believe, but these are words from a divine source, and they are words that we need to know and to believe and to practice. And his parting words are, seek the light.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Miss Judy Gray, thank you for being on Evident Footprints. Congratulations, we made it through the first show. And there will be another one again on the 26th of February. That's on a Thursday. And I look forward to that interview, as well as anything else that might come along. And I would like to post that on my site if I can get that message out. That is a very uplifting message.
I will send that to you.
Okay, I appreciate it. Well, we're going to say goodnight to our listening audience. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest, Miss Judy Gray. Again, to order her book, The Greatest Treasure of All, you can visit KnowledgeHousePublishers.com, or, and the other address, Judy, is Angelica.com, is it?
Well, I have an 800-243 5242.
800-243-5242. Right. Okay, very good. Well, thank you for that. And I want to say special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, our listening audience, worldwide, virtually on every continent. It's so nice to have you with us tonight, and you have a night filled with peace, love and light, and have a good night.